from the Premier League. It's the official Fantasy Premier League podcast. There's a potential title decider on Sunday, but it's also a massive fixture in FPL. Do we lose Liverpool and move on Man City? All that and more on this week's official Fantasy Premier League podcast. Hello, Kelly Summers back with your weekly dose of FPL goodness. I've got the big game feels with Manchester City taking on Liverpool this weekend in what could be a title decider in the Premier League and could also have huge effects on FPL mini leagues. Did you know, as it stands, Mo Salah is the fourth most transferred out player this game week? We'll have more on that for you shortly as we look ahead to game week 32 in the company of pod favourite and French football expert Julien Laron. Hi, Jules.
Hi, Kelly. Hi, everyone.
Hello, and a big hello to football journalist and consultant Jonathan Fadugba.
Hello.
And last but not least, we've got another debut for you on the podcast. He is a regular on the FPL TV show. He's co-founder of Fantasy Football Fest, and he has finished in the top 70,000 in eight of the past 10 seasons. It's Gianni Buttigieg. Gianni, good to have you on at last. How's your season going?
Yeah, thank you for having me, guys. Good to be here. So far, so good. I'm 14K, couple of chips in hand. So yeah, it's been a good season. It's been a chaotic season, which I think has... I've really enjoyed lots of blank game weeks, lots of doubles. That's really sort of really helped those managers that are really into the game and spend hours researching it every week as I do.
Yes, you certainly do. And I think I'm fair in saying you probably didn't have the start to the season you wanted, but you've had a really strong second half and used some chips, particularly your wild card, really well.
Yeah, it wasn't the best start to the season, but I wasn't scared of using my wild card early, both at the start of the season and then again wild card two. As soon as I got it, pretty much, I looked to use it and utilise that wild card. And fortunately, it helped and it coincided nicely with a lot of those double game weeks we got over the, sort of the last couple of months. So yeah, so far so good. But now we're into the business end of the season. It's time to think about my two final chips, the free hits, and to go big in the last few weeks of the season. I'm really excited about.
Going big, that's what we are all aiming to do on the FPL podcast. Well, let's look back on double game week 31, starting with the top scorer, Richarlison, with a huge 17 points with two goals on Wednesday night, despite Everton losing both of their double game week 31 fixtures. Jules, you, like many managers, opted for the other forward doubling this week, Burnley's Wout Weghorst. No returns in seven for him now. You did boldly bring in another Everton player, though, just the wrong one.
Yeah, the wrong one, Damara Gray, because I wanted Richarlison, considering he scored for Brazil, for example, in the last game of the international break, and clearly he was getting back to his best form. I was just too short on money, so I had to settle for Gray, hoping that he would do something good for once, because he's so inconsistent. And yet he started one game, was very average, then was benched for the second game against Burnley. And Wout, our friend Wout, that we all love and we all fell in love with at the start of his career at Burnley, has been pretty shocking, really. I kept Weghorst as well because they play Norwich at the weekend. And I think, come on, if he is to score and it's not in this double game week, then it would be against Norwich at the weekend. So I'm still hoping for a bit of return from him before letting him go.
Just the one goal now for Wout Weghorst. Yet we are all still holding on to the fact that Burnley have those doubles, aren't we? Yeah. I had that frustration as well, as I'm sure many people listening did. Next up, in terms of top scorers, it was Vitaly Janout with 15 points in Brentford's shock 4-1 win at Chelsea. Christian Eriksen also scored his first league goal since his return. But none of our panel had any Brentford assets, though. So let's talk about some they did. Spurs recorded a 5-1 comeback win against Newcastle, assist for Harry Kane and Dejan Kulusevski, but Matt Doherty got a huge 14 points, making him the second highest scorer. And Gianni, your decision to start him over Trent Alexander-Arnold looks like a smart one.
Yeah, Spurs are just a team that are scoring goals for fun at the moment, aren't they? They seem to have the highest ceiling. And look, if you had triple Spurs this week, you were doing well. They propped up most people's game weeks. Some had Kulusevski, some had Doherty, but some had Ben Davies. And for those that went there, obviously most had Harry Kane, he did very well out of it. And look, he played left wing back at the weekend, looked just as attacking. I actually think Tottenham's left wing back is arguably more attacking than Tottenham's right wing back. And when Reguilon plays, we see him get loads more chances than Doherty does. And I think that has a lot to do with Son drifting infield on the left, whilst Kulusevski on the right stays wide and kind of eats up a lot of that space for the right wing back. So I actually really like Doherty on the left, and I hope he continues there.
Yeah, let's quickly mention Liverpool then, because Trent Alexander-Arnold didn't start, hence Gianni benefiting from Matt Doherty coming in. But there was more frustration for Mo Salah owners, captained by 3.86 million players. He blanked, and Diogo Jota was the big scorer for the Reds, getting a goal and an assist. And Jonathan, your Salah frustration was remedied a little bit by the fact that you actually had the Portuguese.
Jota kind of saved my game week in the end. Captain Mo Salah, obviously the disappointment he's had with the World Cup has maybe led to a slight dip in form, maybe a little bit of fatigue. I also have Joel Matip, so he did very well for me, getting a nice clean sheet, and that was good against the people who maybe weren't sure whether to keep or bench Trent. So I had that kind of secured in there. But Jota had a really, really good game week. He's so dangerous. And a lot of people sold him in the past weeks because of the injury he had and sort of maybe a little bit of lack of game time. But the 0.4 difference to get rid of him, I just didn't see the value in maybe having to bring him back in again. So I've kept him, I've stuck with him and been rewarded. So yeah, very happy with Jota this week.
20 points in the last two game weeks for Jota as well. A word though on a transfer for you, Jonathan. I'm sorry to do this. You said there about saving your game week. The transfer out that must have really hurt. You got rid of Jared Bowen, but he returned 13 points.
Yeah, that was painful because I actually made two subs this week and I wanted Saka in there thinking that he'd do well against Palace and he didn't. And I would need it. I thought, you know, I'll get ahead of the curve and get Reece James back in there. 0 points. So it was very painful. Bowen was on an orange, I think, before the game week. So I was thinking to myself, he's not going to play the whole game, surely. Time to get rid of him. After I held him the whole time before that, thinking, you know, he'll be back. The minute he comes back, he's no longer in my team. So yeah, Saka, you let me down there. But Arsenal have Brighton this weekend. So hopefully Saka can repay me this weekend.
Well, lots of people, I think, were left frustrated by Saka's blank against Crystal Palace and Arsenal's disappointing performance as well. Don't worry, Jules, you're Mr. Arsenal, but we don't have to talk about that today.
Thank you. I didn't expect you to anyway, so it's good.
Well, that's how our panel got on and some of the main talking points. As for our mini league, congratulations to the winning 11 who stayed top by just a point. They have Deeney in a bottle right behind them. A reminder, our league code is 1KIKS7 if you do want to join. Anyway, that's enough looking back now. It's time to look forward, including some rather exciting double game week news. Before we chat about Manchester City versus Liverpool, the standout fixture in game week 32, Monday brought the announcement that we have all been waiting for. Double game week 36 and 37 have both been confirmed, adding 8 matches to those game weeks. And that does mean that 12 teams have at least one double in either game week 36 or 37. We are still waiting for Wolves versus Manchester City to be added. And there will be 2 postponements caused by the FA Cup final, which is due to be played in game week 37. Do keep an eye on fantasy.premierleague.com for all of the latest on those rearrangements. But the teams that we know double in 36 at the moment are Arsenal, Aston Villa, Chelsea, Everton, Leeds, Leicester, Liverpool, Norwich, Spurs and Watford. And in 37, it's Villa, Burnley, Everton and Leicester. Chelsea and Palace could also, depending on who wins the FA Cup semi-final. To see the full fixtures for all of those teams, they are, of course, all available on the Premier League website. But we'll try and pick out some of the best of them for you now. Firstly, Gianni, what are your initial thoughts on those doubles that we've been handed?
In years gone by, we've seen double game week announcements after the FPL deadline. This was brilliant. We got it on a Monday. We've got all week to plan, which is absolutely brilliant for FPL managers well ahead of a deadline to think what they're going to do in 36, 37, because their transfer moves this week really should be with that in mind. And for those that have got a bench boost left, game week 36, there are so many teams playing twice. You might be able to get 15 players out playing twice, 30 FPL performers for you. So I'm a bit jealous of those still with that chip. But look, there's some standout fixtures in there too. Chelsea have Wolves and Leeds. Leicester have Everton and Norwich. Liverpool have a double. Spurs have a double. It's tasty.
Tasty. Do you agree, Jules? Which ones are standing out for you?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you've got even 4 clubs who have double game week back to back, 36 and 37, which is crazy when you think they're going to play 4 games in the space of 8 days or something. And that's a lot of points for you to take. Villa, Chelsea, Everton and Leicester. I think it depends. Some like Villa have 3 home games, one of them being against Liverpool, but surely that's an advantage. Some have 3 away games in those 4, which is not easy. Some have 2 away, 2 homes. Usually this is what, you know, you do when you've got 4 games like that in such a short space of time. But I think it's great. You look at Everton and they've got Watford, Brentford and Crystal Palace as their last 3 of the 4. which even in their dreadful form, at some point, surely they will get some, you know, they will get some wins and play better. It could be that. Leicester are interesting, even if they play Chelsea in their four games. The last one of the four will be Chelsea away from home as well as Stamford Bridge. But Leicester, who we will talk a bit more lately in the show, could be an interesting pick for who you go for. And Gianni is right. You need to already think about those double game weeks, especially if you intend to play those players who have four games in the next in those two game weeks.
How has this affected your strategy for the rest of the season, Jonathan, with chips as well as transfers?
Yeah, I mean, the good thing is I've been keeping the bench boost ready for something like this, because there's been so many backlog games that I think, as Gianni mentioned just there, you know, that you've got the potential to have nearly sort of, you know, so many more points potentially just based on having that chip alone to come. I think when you look at the strategy for the last sort of final games, what will be key for me is who's got something to play for. Then, you know, there's going to be certain teams. I mean, I'm looking at, for example, Norwich. Will they be maybe relegated by then? Will it matter? There might be certain teams already kind of on the beach, mid-table, and thinking, like, let's rotate, bring some youngsters in, you know, maybe let's experiment. And that's not for me at all. So I'm looking at the teams who have got something to play for. I think what will be quite interesting, you know, we mentioned Spurs there and how they're a good team at the moment in terms of FPL assets. They've got quite a tough looking sort of end to their season. Liverpool away, Arsenal at home in double game week 36, for example. Are you going to have three Spurs assets for those two games? Liverpool probably going for the title, and then obviously the big North London derby, which could end up deciding the Champions League. So there's a lot of decisions to be made there, and probably now's the time you can start planning. You know, as Jenny said, you can start planning what you're going to do. I think maybe just looking towards that, yeah, it makes me already think about Spurs and how I'll handle them. And I think with Villa, you know, teams like Villa have got four games, you know, but they might be mid-table, as I've said. Steven Gerrard might be planning for next season. So you've got a lot of decisions to make there, even though their fixtures look quite appealing, you know, the likes of Palace at home, Burnley at home. So a lot of meat there to pick on the bones, isn't there?
Before we move on, Gianni, very quickly, a lot of people will have been looking at game week 33, which is also a double, of course, and quite a big double as well, for using their bench boost. Would you now say that they should maybe reconsider and keep the bench boost for one of these later game weeks that are doubles?
I think if you've still got your wild card in hand, then you probably save that bench boost to 36 or 37, and then you perhaps wild card in 34 and dead end your team in 33. So when I say dead end your team, we look at teams that are doubling in 33, like Man United, like Newcastle, even Burnley. Perhaps you want to bring in some of their assets, but you only want them for 33. Do you want Man United players long term? Not really. Do you want Newcastle players long term? No, you don't. But you could wild card them out in 34. And then make sure you get a really nice 15-man squad ready for your bench boost in 36, for example. So I think that's the play for me. The 33 free hit doesn't really appeal unless you can trust United. So we need to be watching United against Everton this weekend. And if they go and score lots of goals, then maybe we go there and we jump on a Bruno or Ronaldo or a Sancho. But unless we see something from United, that free hit 33 doesn't appeal either.
So free hit and bench boost potentially should be kept for 36 and 37, regardless of if you've got a wild card?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, some good insight there on chip strategy and how we should navigate some very exciting looking doubles indeed. Well, that is a few game weeks away. Before then, though, there is plenty of football, and games don't really get much bigger than City versus Liverpool on Sunday. But never mind the title race. What about our FPL teams? Let's start this debate with Mo Salah. As I teased at the top of the pod, a lot of people are transferring out the Egyptian. Jonathan, that feels like quite a brave move, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's either genius or madness, I think, there on that one. You know, it's, I think there have been signs, to be fair to the people transferring him out, that he is having a little bit of a dip. Obviously, as I mentioned, the World Cup disappointment could be something maybe playing on his mind. The rotation that they have now with Luis Diaz in there, who's been a fantastic signing, by the way. Now they can sort of play Jota, Diaz and Mane potentially. So Salah's minutes have kind of decreased a little bit. They've got to balance, you know, all the different competitions they're in Liverpool. So It's a brave one. It's something I've considered, but I mean, I've been looking back at Salah's sort of last few seasons, and he does tend to maybe reduce his scoring output. But when you look at it, I mean, last season he still got 5 goals in his last 9 games. So I think it's really, really brave to get rid of him, and especially when you look at some of Liverpool's games coming up. City away is obviously a very tricky one, but they've still got some appealing fixtures in the weeks to come. So you know, I'm looking at, for example, the Merseyside derby. They could, you know, they absolutely battered them, didn't they, away from home. That could be 5-0 or something, you never know. So Salah could fill his boots in that fixture. So I'm still looking ahead at the fixtures to come and thinking, is it worth getting rid of him? But Liverpool have so many options, and going to Man City is a tough place to go. My feeling on the game is that there will be goals in it. And I just can't see Salah not being involved in it in some way, shape or form. So I think, you know, if you were looking to switch maybe and go for someone like maybe a De Bruyne or a, you know, someone else, are they going to guarantee the points that Salah might not guarantee in your mind? I'm not sure. So it's a big decision to make. And this is where, you know, mini leagues are won, isn't it?
Three blanks from four after 1 in 17 for Salah. But he does tend to do well against Manchester City, Jules. 5 goals and 2 assists from 9 meetings. Are you going to be starting him? Should managers even be considering not starting him?
I don't think so. I'm sorry. One, I think he's undroppable for Klopp anyway. So you know he's going to start for Liverpool, even despite all the options like that Jonathan explained. And you're right. He scored a worldie in the reverse fixture on field earlier in the season. There's something in, and it's going to be such an open game anyway. It's not if he was playing against a team that would play with 11 men behind the ball, make it really difficult for Liverpool, considering that currently, he has a lack of confidence. You saw that against Benfica, where he easily could have scored 2 or 3, but it's just the finishing is just not there right now. But against City, when he's going to be so open, I think, when there's going to be a lot of goals, when Liverpool will fancy the chances, and Liverpool have to go for it anyway, because this is potentially the turning point of the season where they go over City in the title race as well. So they will rely on him again. You have to fancy him. You have to start him. You cannot. I cannot believe people are actually letting him go. I really can't.
Yeah, it does feel incredibly brave, doesn't it? And maybe with the week after in mind, potentially, if people are going for double game week, 33 players. What about in defence? Both sides have 18 clean sheets from 30 matches. Let's talk about Trent Alexander-Arnold. Gianni, we spoke about him before. He didn't play against Watford. We fully expect him to start this fixture, of course. But what about his points potential in this one?
Yeah, with Trent, there is always a big upside. Like, he's arguably got the highest ceiling of any defender in the game, alongside Reece James and Cancelo. But if there was ever a game to leave him out, you would think this would be the one. Now, that sounds ridiculous. Like, Trent is FPL royalty, he's always been a go-to. But if you've got a really strong squad this week, as so many have, you've got to probably bench some very good players. And for me, I might have to bench Weghorst, for example, who plays Norwich, or I bench someone like Trent that plays City. Can I see Liverpool keeping a clean sheet in that football match? I don't think I can. Can I see Liverpool scoring many goals? I'm not so sure. Maybe 2 best case scenarios we saw earlier in the season. Sure, Trent can always be involved. But I would rather bench someone like Trent over Cancelo this week. Cancelo, for example, is someone I feel like has that clean sheet potential, slightly higher. City, the home team, arguably the better defence. So whilst I'd be benching Trent with a heavy heart, I think if there was ever a week to go without him, this would be it.
Wow. Ooh. Go on, Jules. I'm going to let you pick up there because I could see you making a bit of a face to Gianni to say, are you mad?
I mean, on his debut, I think this is bold. This is like, you know, big cojones territory. I mean, you benched him at the weekend and it worked out for you. I'm not sure if you can do it twice in a row, but hey, I'd support you whatever you do. But this is a big one, I think.
It does sound crazy, doesn't it? You're like, okay, I'm dealing with Trent here, who's been FPL gold for a long time, versus Weghorst. It's like one of those, like Weghorst, the guy that's not scored in 7 games, yeah, who came with such a reputation. Like, his goals in Germany, what was he, 1 in every 2? And we thought he was different gravy in the Premier League. He's not going to do that in the Premier League. But against Norwich, he might just do it. So it's a tough one, but I'll probably end up going Trent in my 11. I don't quite know yet. It's going to be a toss of a coin, that one.
What about you, Jonathan, then? Because there's also a decision potentially to be made with João Cancelo, though Gianni does sound a bit more confident of his chances of returning or at least keeping a clean sheet in this one.
Well, this is a bold call, isn't it, Gianni there? I like it, to be fair. I like it. And I mean, I think Jules picked up on an interesting point, which is how the game's going to play out. You know, are you expecting a lot of goals in this game? Are you expecting one team to win and dominate? It really depends how you see the game going. From my point of view, I've watched, you know, Man City at home in recent games, you know, for example, in the Champions League and other competitions, and they do leave a lot of space in behind. And I think that Liverpool, if there's any team in the league that can exploit space in behind, it's Liverpool. I think on the counter-attack, they're going to have some serious opportunities. And I just can't see how you could start leaving out players for this game from Liverpool, to be honest, because I think they will, you know, someone like Salah, Jota on the break. And you mentioned there, obviously, Trent, you know, crosses into someone like maybe Jota or Diaz or Mane. I just see that there's going to be a lot of chances on the break. So my approach to this game is going to be to keep everyone really. Cancelo as well, I'm going to keep because I think Man City will probably score goals. It's a very tough one, this game, to predict. But I lean more towards goals than I do kind of clean sheets. So I think, for example, I've got Joel Matip, as I mentioned, in my team. He's the one I'm probably looking to leave out. But then again, I say that, but Liverpool are so good from set pieces. So it's really, they're both teams are so good at almost every part of the game that it's hard to predict where to leave players out. I think the only advantage I would say is if you've got, I can't really see Man City scoring from set pieces. And that's the only area that I'd maybe be looking at and saying, maybe you could get an advantage there. You know, I wouldn't maybe have a Stones or someone like that. But it's a really hard game to call, but that's why it's going to be such a great game.
The last six meetings between these average 3.67 goals per game with just one clean sheet. So that perhaps backs up your prediction that there could well be goals. Just a quick word there on Kevin De Bruyne. I wanted to bring him up because you mentioned there about City and set pieces maybe not being quite so good. But Kevin De Bruyne has hit form recently, hasn't he? 5 goals and 2 assists in his last 8. The price puts a lot of people off Gianni. But if you have invested in him, can you see him getting points in this one? And is he someone that maybe we should have our eye on longer term for the season running?
Yeah, like if you've got a squad that can enable a KDB in, you absolutely go there. Like this is the time in the season where he really steps up. You know, he wants to win trophies. There's a lot still to be won there for Man City. And he's, of course, the leader. And one of the few assets we can safely say will pretty much, well, if fit, plays every game. Also, when Mahrez isn't on the pitch, we can't forget KDB's on penalties. So again, you get that extra appeal and, you know, Man City do win their fair share of pens, of course. So I think KDB, if you can afford him, you go there. If you can't, then there is still another option there. And that is of a slightly cheaper midfielder in Phil Foden, of course.
I knew that was coming.
It's a long time before you mentioned his name. I was surprised, like considering, you know, he's his son.
He's my boy.
Go on, Gianni. Wax lyrical about your boy. This is the only reason you came on here today. No, I'm joking.
We talk about Pep Roulette all the time, don't we? And we're always worried about those Man City midfielders coming in and out the team, Grealish, Mahrez. And sure, they do. Well, Phil Foden's pretty nailed. He started 9 of the last Premier League games. Every single one of them he started. He's played 90 in most of those. And sure, he missed a Champions League game, but we know Pep does funny things with Champions League selection. But Phil Foden, I have no doubt, will start against Liverpool. And I think, yeah, he might miss 1 or 2 Premier League games for the run-in. But he'll play most minutes. And we're getting Man City's number 9 at a mid-price midfielder price point. And look, he looked so sharp when he came on the Champions League. Wonderful assist. He's got form against Liverpool. We know he's got a good record. 3 goals, 3 assists and 35 FPL points. So he likes playing the Reds.
Yeah, and I'm just going to throw another name out there, but we don't know if he'll start. He's not been a regular so far this season. Jack Grealish got 24 points in Villa's 7-2 win against Liverpool last season with 2 goals and 3 assists. But you could say that potentially that was a bit of a surprise result as well. On the whole, though, I think the conclusion we can take from this chat is that this game, we're expecting goals. We can't quite predict it. And probably, unless you're feeling very bold like Gianni, you should probably start all of your Liverpool and Manchester City players. Now, whilst we are all jumping on the hype train for the potential title decider on Sunday, watch it be 0-0 now. There are 9 fixtures taking place before that. So let's look at some of those in depth now. Well, incredibly, game week 32 is the first game week without blanks or doubles since all the way back in game week 15, which was early December. So your deadline this week will be Friday at 6:30 p.m. UK time ahead of Newcastle versus Wolves. Then on Saturday, Everton, in desperate need of a win, welcome Manchester United at 12:30. Then there's 3:00 p.m. games. Arsenal looking to get back into the top 4 against Brighton. Southampton entertain Chelsea in a big game at the bottom as Watford welcome Leeds. Villa against Spurs is the late game. Then on Sunday, there are 3:00 p.m. games. Brentford versus West Ham. Leicester host Palace. And there is another massive basement battle. Norwich versus Burnley. And then in case you need reminding, Manchester City play Liverpool at 4:30. Over then to our panel who have all chosen a game to preview in detail from an FPL viewpoint. Jonathan, you're up first with Everton against Manchester United, and both of these teams, wow, they desperately need a win.
Yeah, this is a big game for both sides, as you've just mentioned there, Kelly. I think that, I've seen the Everton game against Burnley and it gave me cause for concern, that's for sure. And I'm sure a lot of FPL fans and especially Everton fans as well had some cause for concern in the way it panned out for Evertonians. The first thing to note is that Everton are really weak defensively at this moment in time. Obviously, they've had suspensions, injuries, just leaking goals. I mean, the third Burnley goal was a sort of calamity of errors from Everton. So you look at that, and when you're looking from an FPL point of view, who can maybe profit from that in the Manchester United team? But then you look at the Manchester United team, and you know they're not kind of the most highest scoring team at this moment in time. Against Leicester, obviously with the 1-1 draw, struggled to really carve out too many clear cut opportunities. Still not quite getting the balance right. Rashford not playing, obviously Ronaldo the little injury he had, Elanga maybe coming in. So it's a tough game to really know where you're going with it. You know, you're always looking for players that maybe no one's picked out, if that makes sense. Everton haven't won this in this fixture since 2019 when they beat them 4-0 Manchester United. But Bruno Fernandes has a pretty decent goal scoring record at Goodison Park. Actually, he's scored a few in the last two three meetings they've had. So he's a player that maybe you might be looking at as a differential, especially with a double game week for Manchester United coming up, where they've got Norwich, I think, and Liverpool away.
Jenny, I'm just going to come to you before we come on to your game here, because this week it feels like you're going to be watching Manchester United very closely ahead of double game week 33. It feels like a lot of these players, from an FPL point of view, are going to be auditioning to get in our teams for that double.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll probably watch that game twice, Kelly. I'll watch it live and I'll watch it back, because the eye test is so important, not just for future FPL points in game week 33, which is of course their double, but it's the selection. If Rashford comes in, does he play well enough to start? If Elanga plays, does he play well enough to keep his spot? Is Bruno in an advanced role? Does Ronaldo look fit? These are all questions we need to know. And look, I need to see goals for United. And if I don't see goals, I need to see a high XG, a high shot volume to think, yeah, against Norwich at Old Trafford, they can go score lots of goals. And then we perhaps think about bringing United players in for 33. But this really is their audition. I'll be looking at the stats and massively the eye test.
Cristiano Ronaldo missing out on game week 31. Jules, very quickly, are you going to be sticking with Damari Gray?
Yes, I give him another chance. Come and, you know, I want to believe in him, surely. And also, I don't have much leeway anyway, so I have to keep him.
Let's move on now to your fixture, Gianni. Southampton against Chelsea. Disappointment for Chelsea in the last week in both the Champions League and the Premier League. Thomas Tuchel, from his comments after that defeat to Real Madrid, expects a response here.
Yeah, he said something like, if we play like this, we simply won't win. And he's right. Chelsea have conceded 7 goals in their last 2 games against Real Madrid and Brentford. 7 goals at home in a week. This is meant to be one of Europe's best defences. Historically, in the last 18 months, they have been. So it's not been great. But the good news for Chelsea is they travel to St Mary's, where they've got a brilliant record. In their last 8, Kelly, they've got 6 wins, 2 draws against the Saints away from home. A couple of them are cup games, but 6 wins, 2 draws. So it looks good for Chelsea going in with that record. But is there many standout options in that Chelsea team from an FPL perspective? There's one or two. It is slim pickings. And of course, Havertz is the main man. He started, I think, the last 5 Premier League games in a row. He's played 90 minutes in all of them, getting 4 goals. This is a mid-price midfielder, a bit like Phil Foden, a mid-price midfielder playing as the number 9. And look, Havertz looks like the complete number 9. We saw that again on Wednesday night against Real Madrid, where it took his goal really well. He moves like a number 9. He's got that ice-cool finishing like a number 9. And look, at 7.9 million, he's 8.3% owned. He's still a bit of a differential. Away from Havertz, do you look at Chelsea defence knowing they've conceded 7 goals in 2 games? I'm not so sure. Tuchel's playing a 4 at times. He's playing a 5 at times. When he plays a 4, you look at Rudiger and Thiago Silva. These guys look like world beaters when they play in the back 5. When they play in the back 4, they don't look too comfortable. So even the likes of Reece James, who I jumped on last week, I think you perhaps wait and see. We need to see clean sheets first. But looking at Southampton, they've been poor too. In the last 4 Premier League games, they've lost 3. They've drawn 1, defeats to Watford and Newcastle in there. In those 4, they've not kept a clean sheet either. And look, Southampton have been pretty good at the back this season. Salisu, Bednarek, they've looked strong, but not recently. So with 2 leaky defences, are we looking at goals at St Mary's on Saturday? Perhaps. But Broyer won't be getting them for Saints. He can't play, of course, against his parent club. And without Broyer, will they lack a little bit of firepower up top, the Saints? Possibly. You expect someone like Adam Armstrong to come in and still they'll play their 4-2-2-2 system. And look, the main man is Ward-Prowse for Southampton. If you're going to invest in FPL assets at the Saints, you look at Ward-Prowse. And for some reason, we continue as FPL managers to overlook James Ward-Prowse. He's only 5.8% owned. Yet this season, he's got more FPL points than popular assets like Foden, Rafinha, Mahrez. He's got 121 points, 7 goals, 4 assists. He's got a double game week in 33. I think depending on your mini league rivals, you look at someone like Ward-Prowse and think he could be a bit of a differential for me. No one else in my mini league has got Ward-Prowse. Perhaps I'll take a punt on him. So dangerous from set pieces as well. But again, slim pickings outside of Ward-Prowse for Saints.
Got a very comprehensive look ahead to Southampton versus Chelsea there from Gianni. Over to you now, Jules. You've looked at Villa versus Spurs. Of course you have, because we've got the chairperson of the Phil Foden fan club. And we've got Harry Kane's dad on the pod as well.
Yeah, my son Harry, very pleased, obviously, the way he's playing. I said last time I was on the show that I think the FPL bosses needs to start having points for second assist, you know, because that's what Harry Kane is so good at, isn't it? Maybe not the assist for the goal, but the ball before the assist is always so good. And we saw that against Newcastle, for example, where especially in the second half, he was so impressive and yet didn't get any points for a lot of the good things that he did in that game. More seriously, Villa have lost the last three games in the league. They haven't been playing well. Although, if you look at the game against Wolves, they had an expected goals of 2.27. So they clearly created chances. Watkins scored really late. It was too late. But they had some good moments in that game before against Arsenal and against West Ham. It was not as good. And if there's one team you don't want to face right now, really, it's Spurs, because they're absolutely on fire. If you look at the last three wins, the expected goals is crazy. 3.16, 3.01, 2.95 against Brighton, West Ham and Newcastle at the weekend. They're on fire. They play so well. Gianni mentioned Doherty before. We said about Kane, Kulusevski, Son, even Emerson Royale, if you want, on that right-hand side. Even if I agree with Gianni, I think Doherty on the left will have more input into the game than whoever plays on the right-hand side. But there's so much there for you to pick. You can even go clean sheet with Dyer, with Romero, who's been so impressive, Lloris, if you want a goalkeeper as well. There's so many good things to pick from Spurs, and I don't think Villa will be able to beat them on Saturday. I mean, if you look at Villa's home form, it's not as good as, I mean, they've won as many points at home than away, but they've won more games away than at home this season. I mean, even Watford won at Villa Park. I mean, come on, this is ridiculous. And you know that.
Done the double over them.
Yeah, I mean, this is how bad it is, to be fair. So even if you like an Ollie Watkins or Coutinho, who was the big talk of town recently, but has really got off the ball in the last three games, I think you look more towards Spurs than towards Villa.
Jules, we talk a lot in FPL about teams on the beach teams come game week sort of 34 and onwards. Not much to play for. They're not going to get European football. They're not going to go down. If ever there was a beach team, you could argue it was Aston Villa. Is that a fair comment? Or do we go, these are professional footballers? Of course, every game is 100%. We're playing for our starting position next year. We're playing for potential transfers. Or can we look at it and go, they're just not fully into it because they're not going to go up, they're not going to go down?
Yeah, no, I think it's a fair point. And John mentioned Villa amongst the teams that he believes as well could be a little bit on holidays already. And if you look at what Gerrard is doing, Leon Bailey started against Wolves, which in a way was a bit of a surprise. Maybe we didn't expect him like that. Morgan Sanson started as well that game. So maybe Gerrard also will say, you know what, I'm going to already think about next season and do and try those players, maybe in different positions. You know, we can try maybe different formations and things like that. And I think there's a potential of players like Bailey, players who haven't played much before because of injuries or because of decisions by the managers. And now maybe we'll have a bit more game time. What I find funny about this game as well is that when they played the reverse fixture, it was two different coaches because Nuno and Dean Smith were still in charge. And now we will have the Conte-Gerrard opposition.
Interesting. Yeah, Steven Gerrard said a few times this season as well that his side are playing for their places next season. Anyway, that's four of the 10 fixtures previewed for you. Hopefully that's given you plenty of food for thought. Now though, on to the long view. Time to check in then with the fixture difficulty ranking, which is available for you too to peruse on PremierLeague.com. Just 7 game weeks remaining, so it does feel even more useful as we analyse teams' run-ins. And sitting pretty at the top of the ticker are Leicester City. It goes Palace, then a double in 33 of Newcastle and Everton, then Villa. Then in 35, they do have Spurs, which looks a little bit trickier. But then they have two doubles. In 36, it's Everton and Norwich. And in 37, it's Watford and Chelsea, and then Southampton in game week 38. When we look at those fixtures, Jonathan, how do you feel about them?
Tasty. I think tasty fixtures to come. I did look at this game week and, you know, I've been eyeing up James Maddison to bring into my team. I haven't really had many Leicester players all season, to be honest. But Maddison his performance against Manchester United was first class. He was brilliant in that game, off both feet as well, putting a brilliant cross for their goal, and then obviously scored a goal that was disallowed on the VAR. They have a really appealing fixtures and a double game week to come, and they've got Everton as well, who are really struggling and I think are conceding goals for fun at this moment in time. My worry about them is Europe, and that's why I probably just ease off Maddison for now. I'm concerned about how that's going to affect them. They're obviously playing Thursday, Sunday, which is can be tough on the, you know, tough on the legs for players at this level, the intensity of it. And I think they might be a team who might look at this the competition and think we could maybe win this competition. So I don't think, you know, could maybe even salvage their season, because they've not had, you know, compared to previous years, it's been a bit of a dip with the injuries they've had, Leicester. So I think that in the game weeks to come, maybe for the double game week coming, I'd start to look towards Leicester players. Haven't got any of them in my team for this weekend, but Palace are in quite good form, I think. So I'm not too worried there. But I think maybe the weeks where they don't have Europe, or if they maybe even get knocked out of Europe, then that's when they become more and more appealing. Because if you look at their last sort of three or four, there's definitely some points there maybe for the likes of Harvey Barnes, James Maddison. And you could even get maybe some players returning from injury, the likes of Wesley Fofana, Johnny Evans, who might maybe pick up clean sheets here and there, or James Justin even maybe pick up an assist here and there. So there's a lot of options there with Leicester. But I think Europe is the one thing to think about when if you're planning for the weeks ahead with their players.
Yeah, rotation could be a slight issue, couldn't it, Jules, given the fact that they do still have Europe to focus on. But Harvey Barnes and James Maddison, I know there's a lot of interest in those two players. Are they the main two we should be looking at, do you think?
Yeah, I think Maddison for sure. But I agree with John. I think it's tricky when you play in Europe because, I mean, they've got two games against PSV coming on, you know, back-to-back week, if you want. There's not even a week in between. And PSV are going to make you run and make you work really hard because that's how they play. So on top of already the Premier League, and maybe you just focus on Europe, and maybe that's your priority because you can win this Europa Conference League. And that would be amazing if you go FA Cup win and then a European Cup win. So it would be pretty special. And in the league, they're safe. They're never going to get top four finish, for example. Yeah, they can go higher. They're not going to go down. So maybe Europe is the priority. And if that's the case, then I think it's tricky to predict the lineup in the Premier League week in and week out, because it's a good squad. Rodgers can easily change and rotate, and you know, he's got different forwards. He can move different players in midfield. Even at the back, he's got quite a lot of options when everybody's fit. So I think it might be tricky. But if you had to go for one, it has to be Maddison.
Yeah, Jules, I'm with you there. Look, if PSV do beat Leicester in Europe, Leicester, then we like them because they'll have some midweeks free. They still are owed lots of fixtures. And look, we can't forget, this is a team, Leicester, that have more fixtures remaining than any other club. 7 game weeks left, but 10 fixtures. So I'm with you. Like, you look at someone like Maddison and think 6.8 million. He's now playing in a front three. He's not that KDB role in the middle of the park. He's playing a 4-3-3, Brendan Rodgers, and he sees Maddison as his wide forward. And Maddison has spoken about getting lots of goals and assists and wanting to clock those numbers. And I think we'll start to see it. I really like Maddison for the running.
Let's just have a quick words on Wolves, because they're actually at the bottom of the fixture difficulty ranking now. They also blank in 33. They've got to face Chelsea and Liverpool, and we've still got the rearranged fixture against Manchester City too. A quick word on how we're feeling about them, Jonathan, because we saw, didn't we, Johnny did very well and they beat Aston Villa last weekend. But is it now time to part company with Bruno Lage's side?
Well, I have Jose Sarr in goal, and that's something I'm definitely having to think about, Kelly. They've got some tough games, haven't they? The bulk of their tough games come maybe towards the back end of the season, you know, the likes of Liverpool and Chelsea. They've still got teams like Norwich to play, Brighton, Burnley. So you've got to balance it in the right way. I took out Kilman and I felt that maybe, you know, Wolves with clean sheets, they're a little bit unpredictable. You can't really hang your hat on them. You know, the Leeds game still in my mind when they sort of threw away that 2-0 lead. To answer your question in a short way, I will sort of start to maybe figure out what I do with Jose Sarr. I'm not going to be bringing in any more Wolves players in the weeks to come, I don't think. I just don't see enough value against some other teams that you could look at, like maybe Leicester, other teams like, for example, Arsenal, who have better fixtures. So I'm going to look at that closely and start to rotate Jose Sarr, I think.
Well, that's the long view covered off. Now back to game week 32 and our panel's plans. Time for you guys to reveal all now then, transfers and captains. Firstly, Jules, what are your plans with your team?
So I'm going to captain my son, of course, Harry Kane, who, like I said, deserves more points for everything great that he does on the pitch, but he's on good form, like his team. And then I think I'm not going to do anything because I want to have the two free transfers for game week 33 to be able to already think about towards the end of the season as well. So I think I'm going to wait patiently. I say that now, and then at the last minute, obviously, I'm going to make something crazy. But for now, this is the idea, so I can have two free transfers for the following week, which I think is where you can get a lot of points and a lot of ground in your mini leagues, for example, over your mates.
I don't believe you for a second. Gianni, what are you going to do?
Oh, do you know, I'm Team Jules as well. I think I'm going to be rolling my transfer, which yes. I don't often do. I'm usually, you know, we're spoilt for choice in FPL. It's hard to always to try and do that. But I just look at 33 and we don't quite know what we want to do there around, especially around Man United. We need another week of eye scouting. And for that reason, I think to have two free transfers in 33 when there's lots of doubles will be very valuable. If, however, like me, there's a chance you free hit in game week 33, I then lose those two frees. Of course, they don't carry over. So I am looking at it going, if I'm going to free hit in 33, I need to use a transfer. But at the moment, I'm sitting on the side of I won't be free hitting. Therefore, having the two free transfers will be so, so valuable.
Are you being as sensible and as measured, Jonathan? I can't believe this. We've got two panelists who are potentially not making any transfers.
No, I'm not, I'm afraid. I've already made my transfer. Sorry, guys.
Too bad for you.
Sorry, guys. I've already made my transfers. I've had two Brighton players that I've been itching to get rid of for quite a while now. And the final straw came in that Brighton Norwich game when Mope missed the penalty, and that was enough for me. I've had Mope for about 2-3 months, I think. And he's not really returned too well for me. So I've already made my changes. I've made two transfers this week. I'm going to bring in Maxwell Cornet and I'm going to bring in Jean-Philippe Mateta. I've already started to look at Palace. I think they've got some nice games coming up. If you look at their fixtures, they've got obviously Leicester, Newcastle, Leeds, Southampton, Watford, Villa, and then Manchester United. I think there's some points there to be had for them. And the way they played against Arsenal, I thought they were excellent. I know they've got the FA Cup to maybe think about, but I prefer Mateta to Mope at this moment in time. Obviously now Mope will probably go and score a hat-trick, but you know, that them's the breaks. And Maxwell Cornet, I thought he was excellent against Everton as well.
Gianni, a quick word on that transfer of Mateta, because I know he's someone that you've waxed lyrical about recently. I'm sure you approve of that move.
Yeah, I've absolutely loved him getting goals in the last couple of weeks, so I can look back and say, do you remember that time I was on the FPL show and I said, bring Mateta in a month ago? So look, he's definitely the standout budget forward, isn't he? At sort of low 5 millions, you're looking at the likes of Breuer and thinking it's a two-horse race between those, and Mateta pips it. And look, Palace are going places. This Palace team, they've got a bit of money to spend if they need to. They've got a lot of talent in attacking areas. Mateta's playing well and Vieira's shown him some faith. But Mateta is playing for his jersey. I wouldn't be surprised to see Vieira shopping for a number nine in the summer, but maybe he doesn't if Mateta really steps up. So he's getting a run of games and he's getting goals and he gets so much service. Eze, Elise, Zaha, Gallagher, all feeding into the big man. I like that move.
And finally, captaincy. Jules predictably said he was going to give his armband to Harry Kane.
Family.
You're not related to Harry Kane, Gianni, but are you in agreement?
I am, yeah. It's got to be Harry Kane. Look, if you own Heung-min Son, potentially you go there. But most either have Kane or Son, don't they? So I think you go with Spurs attack for captaincy. I'll be going Harry Kane, highest ceiling of any player in terms of team as well as player. Tottenham just look like they can score 4 or 5 goals every game at the moment. So you've got to go there.
Spurs trio of captainers, Jonathan?
This one I'm a little bit more hesitant about. I'm kind of sitting on the fence at the moment. I'm going to think this one out. Saka against Brighton, potentially. Or if you're really, really brave, Man City or Liverpool, that's it, if you're really, really brave. But would it be Salah? I'm also, I don't know if this sounds like madness, but I'm kind of maybe thinking about someone like Cancelo, potentially. Ooh. So my thinking there is just Kane, the 4 points against in the last game week has hurt me because he was so good in that game. He even won man of the match. And then to come away with 4 points, that kind of affected me with the captaincy. So I'm just wondering if he's a kind of assistant now for the likes of Son and others rather than a goal scorer. So I'm a little bit on the fence on that one, I'm going to have to say, to be honest.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing what you all do, guys. I get the feeling this could be a huge game week in FPL as well as being huge at both ends of the Premier League table. Gianni, Jules and Jonathan, thanks so much for joining us today. And thanks to everyone who's listened once again. I'll be back on the Premier League app and website with James Richardson on the FPL show later. There's also heaps of other brilliant FPL content on there. So do head over to that and check those out. And one final reminder, reminder for your deadline. It is Friday at 6:30 p.m. UK time. So get those teams sorted. Good luck getting some green arrows, and we'll be back as always next Thursday.